Welcome, welcome to the Richard Rants Show here on this lovely, amazing, incredible January 14th, broadcasting from an undisclosed location, deep underground, or not. Thank you for tuning in, those of you who are tuning in. I am still broadcasting every Wednesday at approximately 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and also subsequently uploading and simultaneously recording my rant or discussion or attempted cogent analysis of the events of our day. And the events of our day are indeed remarkable and also somewhat shocking. So I will initiate this conversation with myself, as I no longer am taking calls in this undisclosed location from which I am broadcasting, because of security concerns, or not, perhaps not. Well, what we've seen is indeed momentous going on here, and I am not commenting on anything that we are not already well aware of. We have a situation where a mob of fascists, a fascist mob intent on overthrowing our government, attacked the seat of government at the urging of a illegitimate wannabe dictator. It is reminiscent of Mussolini and other fascist dictators who have managed to overthrow democratically elected governments. And it also resembles situations that in the past the United States has supported. The United States has supported overseas the overthrow of democratically elected governments using some of the same tactics, often using some of the same tactics. I saw a commenter on Democracy Now, I believe it was yesterday, was interviewed and brought up this resemblance between situations that he has seen, such as when President Allende of Chile was overthrown in, I want to say, 1978, with the assistance of the CIA and paramilitary groups. Right-wing paramilitary groups were part of the vanguard, as I use that term, were part of the strategy that was used to overthrow the seat of government in Chile at the time. And President Allende was assassinated subsequently, and Chile was then plunged into decades of iron-fisted authoritarian rule by a general, Pinochet, who did such things as have people thrown out of helicopters into the sea, and of course, a lot of torture and disappearances, many, many thousands of disappearances of anybody who dared to oppose his regime. And we can be fairly sure that the chump who is now impeached for the second time, the first president in history of the United States to be impeached twice, and it couldn't be deserved by a more despicable individual than this. Impeached twice. That is your history, chump. Impeached twice. A failure. Donald Trump, you're a failure. And history will always record you as such. And it's not even over. It's not even done. Still due to be convicted. This time, we're going to have a conviction. It will be a trial. Follow, that is what follows a impeachment, is the trial in the Senate. And most likely, I am predicting with unreliable punditry, most likely, I would say that this time he'll be convicted in the Senate. The Republicans are actually jumping ship at this point. He's gone a bridge too far, even for them. And it is my wish that all parties to this seditious enterprise, to this attempt, which, by the way, is not over yet, as we will see violence coming to the inauguration, but we must be better prepared. And by we, this time, I mean the legitimate government of the United States, with its leaders having been elected legitimately by the people of the United States in a fair and free election, as fair and free an election as we can hold, but it is fairly free. We know that it is not entirely free, and the ways that it is not free are not the ways that the Republican liars have been purporting. The way that it is not free, in fact, is the ways that it has been tilted towards the Republicans through voter suppression. And the voter suppression has been enacted using the baseless claims of fraud, which are completely untrue. So the claims of fraud are used as excuses to attempt to justify voter suppression, which is the only way that Republicans can win, because they need to suppress the vote of especially people of color in order to win elections, because in fact, the majority of the country are not bigoted or rich. And the Republicans are the party of the bigoted and the rich. And most of us are not. And the majority of the American public is more progressive than the Republican Party. And that's an understatement. And the progressives in our two-party political system reside in the Democratic Party. We do have other parties. We've got the Green Party. The Green Party is progressive, but the Green Party has no chance of power at a national level. At a local level, yes, the Green Party and the Democratic Socialist Party, yes, locally, candidates from those parties can win. Not reliably, but it's possible and it has happened. Nationally, not possible. Nationally, and yes, this is a flaw. This is a flaw in our democratic system. One of many. Yes, the democratic system is flawed. But we're doing the best that we can under the circumstances. Democracy is messy. That's part of its nature. And that is probably a good thing because democracy is messy and fascism, and on the other side, the far left-wing authoritarianism in places, I don't think we really see it. You know, we have places that say that they're communist, like China. And before the USSR said that they were communist, but in fact, they were not. It was a strange amalgam of, it was a totalitarian system in which the totalitarian government owned most of the industry and public goods. It was a strange amalgam. So the left wing totalitarianism is not exactly communism, although it used to have that name. But I digress. What is neat and orderly is fascism. That is neat and orderly because everyone must agree. So the trains run on time, as the aphorism goes. They say that Mussolini made the trains run on time. I don't know if that's really true, but under a fascist system, it is certainly possible to make things look very orderly. And that is what the fascists want to do. They want to look orderly because they have one supreme leader who decides what must be done, and everyone must follow them. That is what Donald Trump wishes he could be. But he won't, because he's a failure. And it's a good thing for us that he is, in some ways. It was a bad thing for us as far as handling the pandemic, mishandling, not handling the pandemic, saying it would just go away, saying that it was not serious. And as a result, thousands and thousands of people have died and are continuing to die in the United States unnecessarily. If that had been perpetrated by a terrorist organization, killing how many thousands of people have died? I believe it's around 300,000 dead from the coronavirus epidemic. These numbers are staggering. If 300,000 Americans had been killed by some sort of foreign incursion or plot engendered by a foreign power, we would be up in arms, probably literally up in arms. But what happened was, because of complete mishandling of the coronavirus epidemic, the responsibility of which comes mainly from the top, Trump and his inept and criminal, corrupt administration, the cause of the obscene number of deaths and infections, for which we will not fully know the resulting long-term implications for quite some time, because the studies are going to continue to come out as to what the long-term health implications of having been infected by the coronavirus, COVID-19, will be. More and more is coming out. The people who did not die, the people who managed to recover, are not fully recovered. It is an incredible tragedy, and in fact, that would be yet another grounds for impeachment and for this president to be tried for manslaughter at the very least, or perhaps murder, for the responsibility of these deaths. Well, that's yet to come. That's yet to come. What we're going to see now, because Mitch McConnell has put the Senate in recess until the 19th, but thank goodness this may be almost the last time, you know, after the 19th comes that incredible day, that wonderful day, January 20th, when Donald the Chump will no longer be president of the United States. That fantastic day that is coming so very incredibly soon. It is January 14th, less than a week left of the Chump. Despicable, corrupt, so-called presidency, less than a week. Ah, can we make it? Can we make it? We almost didn't make it, you know? We almost didn't make it. That mob that was incited by this soon-to-be ex and disgraced president, that mob was murderous. And if that mob had managed to actually make it into the chambers of our lawmakers, there might have been deaths. They were intent on overthrowing our government. This is serious. It came very, very close. So everybody needs to be tried. Everybody who is involved in that needs to be tried to the full extent of the law. And I'm not a law and order person. I'm a lefty. I'm a progressive. I want to reduce the incarceration in our country. I'm not one to spout law and order, but I do believe in maintaining a government for and by the people. I do believe in the ideals, and not always the practice, but the ideals of the U.S. Constitution, and they deserve to be upheld. They're beautiful. The Bill of Rights is amazing. That it is the ideals that we hold up in our country that are of value. as something to strive for, and that we have been striving for, and that we must defend. It is these ideals. In practice, it's true. The U.S. has gone out and caused anti-democratic events to happen throughout the world for the purpose of maintaining economic hegemony over the world. I do not defend this. In fact, I strongly criticize and abhor that aspect of the United States influence. Even as I have been a beneficiary of the immense wealth of the United States, this is a contradiction and I admit that I have been a beneficiary of the inequality, the global inequality that has meant that the United States is the richest by far country in the world. That said, I'm certainly not a member of the elite, wealthiest portion of this society. And those elite need to be made to pay their fair share. But I've digressed again to go back to how there must be consequences for seditious actions against our government. Those consequences must be enforced on everyone who is involved. This is not about a misdemeanor. This is not about nonviolent drug users. This is about seditious individuals attempting to take part in a fascist coup against the democratically elected members of the United States government. It doesn't get much more serious than that. We must insist that all tools of enforcement from a legal perspective, from a constitutional approach, all the tools must be used. There are several that I have been reading about recently, such as the 14th Amendment provides the ability of the Congress to ban anyone involved in seditious activities from ever holding public office again, and that should be used against everyone who encouraged this sedition, this fascist attempted coup. That includes Republican lawmakers and President Donald John Trump, the chump, the loser. He must be made to continue to pay, and all of his followers must be pursued. Those that have participated in this attempted coup, every single one that can be identified, must be arrested and tried to the maximum extent of the legal consequences for attempting to overthrow this democratic government. This is entirely aside from whether the government is perfect, because it's not. But what we have is the best that we could arrive at this point. Democracy is messy. We have many members in a democratic society that are not going to support what is best for the majority of the country, what is best for those who need assistance in the country. That is what I see being a progressive and a liberal as being. And the term liberal has deteriorated because we have the term neoliberal, and neoliberal is not helping those who are less fortunate. But I am of a humanitarian liberal stripe, and I want to help those who are less fortunate, and I want our government to be of and by the people and to help those less fortunate and to provide a social safety net, to provide health care. Everyone deserves to have food, lodging, and health care. And if they are not earning enough money to pay for it themselves, then the government in this richest country in the world should be providing it for everyone who needs it and does not have it. That is a socialist underpinning to a society that can include capitalism if it is well regulated. But I digress again. Back to just desserts and consequences for attempting to overthrow the government. Every single Republican senator who has been knowingly, and they all know that these are lies that they have been purporting about baseless claims of election fraud. They know that they are disseminating lies. Each one of them must be held accountable under every possible constitutional and legal means. The Republican lawmakers who have encouraged the seditious overthrow, attempted coup of the United States government must be held to account. They should be censured if they can be prevented from ever running again. That should be done as well. Every individual who is involved breaking into the Capitol building and who came within a hair's breadth of actually creating a murderous incursion into the seat of government here must be held to account, must be arrested, must be charged with sedition, with treason, with every crime that can legitimately be charged against them for this serious act. On the other side, I'm for social justice. I want to free people from prison who are nonviolent drug offenders. That has nothing to do with it. This is serious. From the political leadership on down to the goons that enacted it, they must all be held to account at the most serious level. Cannot go into our government and try to overthrow it. I am grateful to the Democratic House for impeaching Donald Trump as they had to do. And I will look forward to the Biden administration attempting to heal America, take the virus pandemic seriously. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in.